Good morning, and welcome in the name of Christ. We are so glad that you've joined us for this morning's message. Our text for today comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. This passage records the day when Moses presented the Ten Commandments that God gave him to his people Israel. If you have a computer, then you know that almost every time you turn it on, or as soon as you pull up an email or visit a website, one of those annoying little pop-up messages will often show up. While some of them are actually notifying you about maintenance issues, software updates, or other things that you do really need to take care of, the great majority of them are just advertisements trying to sell you something. It seems that this has become the preferred method for advertisers on the web today. And if you haven't noticed, the pop-up ads that appear are always related to the website that you're on or the ones you've visited in the past. You don't have to be online very long to get hit by dozens of these notices, often in a matter of minutes, and it can get very frustrating. Sometimes they come to us with such frequency that they slow down our computer and can even cause our web browser to crash. Computer nerds often refer to these kinds of pop-up messages as nagware, because they constantly nag us to take action, even if that action is to simply hit the close button. It also seems that the more we ignore these irritating little pop-ups, the more frequently they show up. Although these constant reminders can be very annoying, they serve a purpose. Well, except for the ads, which everyone would block if they had the ability to do so. They remind us to keep our antivirus software up to date, to update other programs, or do scheduled maintenance, so that our computer will continue to run efficiently. These pop-up messages can also keep us from doing something really stupid, like if you are about to exit a program without saving your work, or delete a program from your computer's hard drive. If so, you will get a message that asks, "Exit without saving?" or "Are you sure you want to delete this?" In this way, our computer tries to keep us from unwittingly losing hours worth of work or erasing software accidentally from our computer's hard drive. When we download, update, or install new software on our computer, we will always get several of these pop-up messages that require us to approve making changes to our computer or direct us to sign an end-user agreement if we wish to use said company's software. If we do, we get a pop-up message that we are supposed to read through and sign off on. And of course, we always carefully read through all 15 pages of the fine print before we hit the agree button, don't we? Well, maybe not. Just remember that when we check on agree, we're saying that we will abide by the covenant contained therein, which will also mean that we agree to accept all the nagware that that company wishes to send our way. Now, although there were no computers in Moses' day, God is essentially doing the same thing with the Israelites, which also means that by extension it applies to us as well. Remember that God entered into a covenant with Abraham. God made a promise to Abraham that he would be the father of a great nation, and that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the heavens. Not only would his descendants become a vast nation, but that God would bless all the other nations of the world through them. Genesis chapter 12. By the time of the Exodus from the land of Egypt, God's promise of a vast number of descendants had become a reality. God liberated his people from slavery, and now they were on their way to the land of promise. This is where they were headed when God called Moses to Mount Sinai and gave him the Ten Commandments, to remind them of the covenant that God had made with his people Israel, beginning with Abraham God gives them the formal end-user agreement on two tablets of stone. These are to be constant reminders to the people of how God expected them to live. These Ten Commandments, even though they are thousands of years old, are so basic to the regulation of human behavior that they have never become outdated or obsolete. They are also so fundamentally important to the foundation of America's Constitution and its laws that they are displayed prominently in many of our government buildings. For instance, if you enter this Supreme Court courtroom, the two huge oak doors have the Ten Commandments engraved on the doors. As you sit in the courtroom, you can see the wall right above where the Supreme Court judges sit, a display of the Ten Commandments. James Madison, our fourth president, who was often referred to as the father of our Constitution, made the following statement: "We have asked the whole of our political institutions upon the capacity of all mankind for self-government, upon the capacity of each and all of us to govern ourselves, to control ourselves, and to sustain ourselves according to the Ten Commandments of God." Another great American, Patrick Henry, patriot and founding father of our country, said, "It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ." If these 10 simple rules are so fundamentally important to our society and to the Christian faith, then we had better know them. Don't you agree? And if we do not know them, we had better learn them and commit them to memory so that we may be sure we are keeping the covenant that was made between us and God so long ago. Keeping these commandments will not only show that we are honoring God, but it can also keep us from making catastrophic errors that can ruin our lives. The commandments give us guidance in how we are to relate to God and treat other people. If we memorize them, they can serve as kind of a pop-up message for our conscience that it can use to warn us that we are about to do something stupid or something we should not do. One thing that might aid us in memorizing the commandments is to separate them into three categories. The first four concern our relationship to God. The next one is about family. And the next five guide us in our relationship with other people. God begins with the most important one: "You shall have no other gods before me." This command was so important that God would tell the Israelites to recite it daily in the form of the Shema. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5. The second commandment is about not creating any idols or graven images. This serves to just add more emphasis to the first one. While we might be tempted to see this as an archaic or outdated law, since we do not bow down to statues or idols anymore, we need to stay on our toes, though, to be sure that other idols do not encroach on God's place in our lives. You see, it is simply a fact that many people still do worship idols, things like money, power, and sex, just to name a few. And all we must do is to watch the nightly news to know that most all sin is related to one or more of these three categories. The third commandment concerns the wrongful use of God's name. In the ancient world, the name of a god was often invoked to get what one wanted. In our own time, we might want to use God's name to support our own selfish agendas. As one church leader once said, "We in the church need to ask God to bless us by showing what he wants us to do, instead of us doing what we want to do and then simply asking God to bless it. The commandment to observe the Sabbath is likely even more important for us today than even it was just a few decades ago, let alone a few centuries ago. If you remember, at one time, we had blue laws in the state of Missouri, and few businesses were open on Sundays. But now, in our 24/7 world, now more than ever, we need one day in the week to unplug and to rest. However, it has also been said that we seem to have the resting part of the Sabbath down pat, while we have neglected the holy part of the command. The Sabbath is also supposed to be a day set aside to attend church and to worship God, as well as a day of rest and recreation. The fifth commandment concerns family, and especially our relationship to our parents, whose job it is to teach their children right from wrong and to train them up in the way in which they are to go. If each generation of parents do their job, then each successive generation will pass on biblical principles to the next generation. If parental instruction about the covenant and the commandments isn't followed, or parents' authority is rejected, then the covenant is in danger of being broken. It has been said that Christianity is just one generation away from becoming extinct. So let me ask, how effectively have you, as parents, passed on the Christian faith to your children? Are they believers? Are they involved in a church? Do they attend it regularly? And are they actively involved in the church's mission and ministries? Are they effectively instructing their children in living by the principles contained in the Ten Commandments? The next five commandments govern how we are to live together in community and keep from hurting one another. 6 and 7, murder and adultery, are both heinous and damaging behaviors to any community. These behaviors are so atrocious that Jesus updated the commandments to include an even bolder line that should not be crossed. Not only are we not to murder, but we are not to even speak harshly to one another or curse them. Pray for those who curse you, Jesus said. Not only do not commit adultery, but do not even let your eyes wander or entertain lustful thoughts. If so, you have already committed adultery in your heart, Jesus warned. 8 and 9 concern taking things that do not belong to us and bearing false witness or lying. These are things that are very damaging to our relationships with one another, because we cannot live together or strive for common goals if we cannot trust one another, not to steal our stuff, and to be truthful with each other. The 10th commandment reminds us to worry about ourselves and our own stuff, and not about our neighbor's stuff. In many cases, it is the act of coveting that causes people to violate many of the other commandments. Yes, God gave the Israelites 10 simple rules, and we have been debating them ever since. And still, many keep looking for exceptions and loopholes. Congressman Charles Morgan once quipped that if Moses had gone to Harvard Law School and spent 3 years working on the Hill, he would have written the 10 Commandments with 3 exceptions and a saving clause. Today, it is possible to download and install software on your computer that will block pop-up messages and keep them from constantly nagging us. However, that software will block all pop-up messages, even the good ones, that help us keep our computers running smoothly. When we commit the 10 Commandments to memory, along with other useful verses of Scripture, they act like those pop-up messages do for our computers when we are facing temptation. When we are about to do something stupid, our conscience will suddenly remind us, and ask us, are you sure you really want to do that? God did not put these commandments in place to ruin our fun, but to keep us from harming ourselves and one another. Therefore, we should pay heed to them, so that we may represent Christ well, and so that we may be salt and light. Amen.